I have a question that I've repeatedly asked in forums like this, and there seems to be no answer, but perhaps from you coming from the region and being as much a scholar as you are, do you believe, Father, that there is the possibility for a reform in Islam?
I heard from Father Romanidis. He was our professor in Balamand from the beginning of the Institute of Theology till the last days of his life. Father Romanidis told us once, we were so in a small gathering talking about Islam and about dialogue with Islam and the perspective of this dialogue. So this was in 97, I think, long time before the problems in Iraq and Syria. He said, are you serious in expecting to changing the mindset of Islam? This would never happen. He said, why? Dialogue is always fruitful and so and so. He said, look, as long as they consider the Quran uncreated, eternal and uncreated, you can never make any improvement in Islam or any change, because they don't accept interpretation or timely interpretation of Quran. They always take it literally as it's written. So hopeless, he said that. Now, from our experience, we witnessed that we witnessed some reformative movement in Islam, but all these illuminated people, let's say, and open people, they can be immediately swept out by some new fanatics and radicalists. They can gain immediately the opinion of the mass. Immediately they can call for reviving the Quran, reviving the Sharia, imitating the Prophet. You cannot hide everything in Islam. You cannot hide the biography of the Prophet. These stories, this saga, war saga, you cannot hide them. They will remain always in the inspiration of every pious Muslim. I don't want to talk a lot, but a Muslim man is inspired by Quran. So you have in Quran good verses and evil, I would say, bloody verses about war and killing. And so some people would think that if we neglect teaching these verses of Quran, the Muslim soul would be better. But you have the biography of the Prophet, and you cannot hide the story, and it's full of similar stories and wars and killing, etc. And you have the third source, which is the hadith, the speeches of the Prophet. They are similar. So where to start with? It's a little bit hopeless.
There are a few issues that we can understand, but I would like to, if you can explain it. How it happens that we have lived so long between Christians and Muslims in Syria and in Lebanon without having a real serious problem as when it started in Syria? This is one question. And it can be related to what happened when this army entered to Damascus. And we see from the numbers, there were no more than 2% of the population of Syria. And how it became that all this population became Muslims. And also regarding Homs, how did Homs converted over one night? So this is a very important issue.
Okay, regarding Homs, there was a Jew traitor we read that a Jew gave information to the Muslim army how to enter Homs. And with regard to the first question, it's not, the question is not accurate, Father, that we didn't have any problem from that time till ISIS. That's not true. Throughout history, many massacres were undergone in Syria. Many massacres and tremendous losses, big numbers of losses. So Syria remained a Christian country in majority, I think, till the 18th century. I think I heard this, that Syria remained a Christian country, the majority of Syria remained Christian till the 18th century. Yeah, and we can tell a lot of stories. What did they do after they entered Damascus? They promised not to take churches, but one after one, they were seizing churches and turning them into mosques, one after one, so that now we don't have any more ancient churches in Damascus remaining in the hands of Christians. You will see, Father, we will talk for 20 minutes maybe in one session about the massacre, one massacre in 1860. What happened in 1860? How many Christians and mainly Orthodox were killed within a few days? Systematically organized massacres by Turks and executed by Sunni and Druze. So this is an example. And during the Ottoman rule, many Christians were killed at that time.
Massacre, one of the martyrs was
Saint Joseph.
Joseph.
Yeah. Yeah. So we can cite many, many examples. And these massacres, thousands have been killed. Maybe within a few days, 15,000 Christians. The population at that time was not so numerous like now.
Abuna, there were Christians that were relied upon by the Muslims. We hear this from what I recall from St. John of Damascus and his family, who were instrumental in assisting the Muslims in bookkeeping and as being administrators and so forth. So Islam has relied upon the Christian community in many respects for various reasons in organization, in assisting with the governmental affairs. So there is this unique regard for the Christian, you would say, from Islam, as long as it remains submissive to the Islamic rule.
They used Christian elite because they were warriors without any experience in administrative skills. So when they grasped or conquered such an important city like Damascus and other cities, so they needed now to make accounts and manage and run the country. But they didn't have these skills. So they used Christians in Damascus and Mesopotamia for this work, and also they used Christians to translate for them some text. But when they acquired knowledge and experience, they dismissed them immediately. They needed them. And then they dismissed them. Let me, Father, also Mansour, mention the massacres that happened in Lebanon in the 70s by the Druze, who made the massacre of 1860. In the 70s, when Kamal Jumblat was killed, the leader of the Druze was killed, and they took revenge from Christians, slaughtering a huge number of Christians. And then again in the 84, the War of the Mountain, Harb al-Jabal, they killed many Christians and many Orthodox, many of them Orthodox. This is a huge frequency We have frequent massacres within one century, from 1860 till 1985. 1860 to 1985, we have many massacres that happened against Christians. So we had, in the 19th century, Palestine with maybe half population Orthodox. We had Lebanon in the 19th century, 82% were Christians, and I would say majority was Orthodox. They were not Maronite. Before the massacre of 1860 and the immigration to Latin America, the majority of the population of Lebanon were Orthodox. In the 19th century, Syria, a great percentage were Christians, Orthodox. And now what do we have? 3% Christians in Palestine, 30% Christians in Lebanon, 8% Christians in Syria. Why? Asia Minor, millions were expelled at the beginning of the 20th century. So we hope that we remain in that country to hope in reconciliation with Muslims. But I think the outcome will be that we will extinguish from there. They will need no more dialogue.
Like St. John of Damascus and his family, they were used by the Muslims. You know why? Because when they invaded Syria, and Syria, the oldest civilization of the world. So that's why, you know, like when Syria was advanced and Syria was in a nice country, you know, and people highly educated like St. John of Damascus and others, they spoke, you know, Greek and others, you know, like other languages. So those invaders, you know, like they came from the desert. They are peasants. They are, you know, like killers. They are Bedouins. So that's why, how could they run the country? So that's why they used the Christians to run the country.